Hey guys, it's Tracy. Long time no talk. Sorry about the delay. Sorry about being gone for a little bit. I literally spent almost an entire week without my voice, as you may have heard in the last podcast. Mrs. Fisher was missing. Which is a play on one of my favorite kids' books, Miss Nelson is Missing. I love that book. And I love the sequel to it, Miss Nelson is Back, or whatever it's called. Anyway, I just want to check in, see how everybody's doing. It is school time here. For those of you that have small children or college-age kids and they are headed back to school, this is the time of year that I live for. School supply shopping is one of my favorite things to do in the entire world. I love a good brand new pen. I love fresh whiteout. I love looking at all of the folders and the binders. It takes me back to being a kid when we used to go and get Trapper Keepers. School clothes shopping is one of my favorite things to do for the kiddos. I love doing that. I could spend all day doing that with them. So easily, school time is probably one of my very favorite parts of the year. Also because we're moving into fall. Fall is coming up really fast. Very quickly coming upon us. And I love the fall. I love everything fall. I'm not a pumpkin spice chick, but I do love, you know, pumpkin pie and pumpkin cookies. I love being able to carve pumpkins with my kids and go pick them out from the pumpkin patch. That's a huge tradition that we have in our family, is to go and do the pumpkin patch. We have a gorgeous pumpkin patch by our house. It's called Hidden Valley. They're a fruit farm. They have orchards. You can go and pick your own grapes, your own apples. It's just delightful. So we have a blast around this time of year, just as a family. I feel like we really get a chance to do more family-themed things. It's just a good time. It feels like we have the summer where you're just kind of crazy and, you know, everything is just kind of goofy. Your schedule, your routine are out of sync. When school starts, you don't have a choice. You have to have a schedule. You have to have your routine. You have to be on point with those things. Otherwise, just chaos, right? So when school starts, I get really excited because I know that we're going to have this planned out time for each other. And I love spending time with my family. I love spending time with my kids and making food for them on Sunday nights so we can eat together as a group. I love making themed meals with them. I love, and by themed meals, I mean we'll pick a movie and then we will pick a meal that corresponds to the movie. So if we watch, say, The Italian Job, we're going to have spaghetti and garlic bread and a salad and with Italian dressing, and we're going to go all out for it. But I love doing that. So what are we looking forward to this year? So my oldest boy is a sophomore in high school, and he has been given access to both the junior varsity and the varsity teams for football. And I'm driving. So every time that I do these podcasts, I'm driving, with the exception of the one with Adrian way back. So our oldest has gotten into JV and varsity football, which means his Friday nights and his Saturdays in the morning are pretty well taken, which means that our Friday nights and our Saturday mornings are pretty well taken too. So we really live for Sundays anyway. Sundays are a really good time for our family to kind of collapse on each other. And while that may sound like a negative thing, it's really not, because we have this opportunity to just kind of relax and be a part of each other's lives. And there's really no need for rushing around all the time. And we don't have to have somebody somewhere by 8 in the morning. And, you know, it's just kind of a relaxed day for us. But it's all because school started. So I know September is coming up really soon. In the States, we're about ready to celebrate Labor Day. We've got some other holidays coming up, but the kids get a break for that. Our family is a house divided. We have a split family. We have a blended family. So the blended family basically just means that my husband and I each have family members, children, specifically from our first marriages, our first relationships. So we split holidays with their other parents, and it just so happens that this is one of the holidays that coincides where the kids will be at the same location. They just won't be with us. So they'll both be at their parents this year. There are other parents, or they'll all be at their other parents this year. So for the holiday, for Labor Day, we usually go to one of my husband's uncles, and we go and we watch fireworks displays. And we go and we just hang out with our family. And again, it's just a night to relax and be part of your family and to acknowledge each other. And that's just my favorite thing about this time of year. I love the fall, like I said, because I love Halloween. Halloween is absolutely, hands down, my favorite holiday. Give me all of the awful candy corn, all of the mellow cream pumpkins. I want it all. I have decided that I eat nothing but holiday candy. I am a holiday candy person, specifically Brock's. Jelly Bird Jelly Beans. I like their conversation hearts for Valentine's Day. And then I absolutely have to have their candy corn and their caramels. Actually, I'm a Kraft caramel person. But I love everything that transitions into this. I love the colors. I love the weather. I love the sweaters. It's definitely sweater weather. It's hoodie weather. It's, you know, it's just a nice break from the heat that you've had all summer, from the stop and go that you've had all summer, to be able to kind of pull into this new season. And, you know, everybody talks about changing the season, spring, summer, winter, fall, all that good stuff. But you have to also think about the seasons of your life. The season of my life right now is very difficult. It's very different. I am on my third time battling ovarian cancer in 2.5 years. I am really understanding why people say that they just want to give up. I'm not in that mindset, but I totally understand now where that comes from. But you know, this is a season for me. I'm still in this season, and my family is still in this season. So when you talk about your seasons changing too, you have to talk about that. But the actual weather season and the beginning of school coinciding together is just, it's magic. It really is. It sounds ridiculous, it sounds hokey, it sounds stupid, but it's magic. It's just this perfect time, excuse me, where everything gets to start fresh. Pardon me. Things get to kind of become new for everyone. It's just a blast. It really, really is. So I am really excited to have my family around me. I'm just really excited. And, you know, I told my oldest daughter the other day, I said, you know, what if we just stop thinking about all the memories we've had and start making new ones? I don't care if they're good or bad, just start making them. And she kind of agreed. She said, you know, you're right. We need to pay attention to that. And we need to be on board with that. Pardon me. So what's next for next month? Next month is actually Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. I'm going to keep this podcast super simple and brief today. I'm just, you know, I'm in traffic. I'm just coming back from a doctor's appointment that's about 40 minutes away from my home. And, you know, I just want to get home and have dinner, and I just kind of have other things on my plate. I love doing these podcasts, and it kills me that I don't have that time carved out right now. Because our routine has been so crazy. Pardon me. I keep yawning and I'm so sorry. But we're going to bring that back on track. So September is actually Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. And as I just mentioned a few moments ago, I am an ovarian cancer survivor and fighter. I'm currently a fighter. And, you know, I'm here to kick cancer's ass, but the problem with ovarian cancer is how deadly and fast it is. When I was diagnosed 2 years ago, I was diagnosed at stage 3C, which is very high. Most women who are diagnosed with ovarian cancer are diagnosed in a later stage because ovarian cancer mimics so many other things. Ovarian cancer mimics feeling bloated or feeling like you have to go to the bathroom a lot. It feels like frequent urination. It doesn't burn like a UTI, but you just got to go to the bathroom a lot. You're tired. You know, you feel full. There's just so many different things that ovarian cancer mimics. There's no test for it. There's no way to check for it unless you have a blood test. And quite honestly, not many doctors, if you walk into their office and ask for a cancer antigen 125 test, are going to say, sure, let's just do that blood work right now. That's just not something that is common. Excuse me. It's also not something that is really something you're going to find a lot of doctors willing to just jump on and do. So when I was diagnosed, it was because all of a sudden I couldn't walk. My feet were falling out from underneath me. All of a sudden I had to go to the bathroom a lot. And this all happened in one day. I went increasingly worse. I called my husband home from work. By about a half an hour, I told him we had to go to the hospital immediately. I had a history of ovarian cysts, so I knew that there was something wrong in that general region of my body. And I also told my husband that if it's another cyst, they should just take the ovaries. I guess I was not specific. They ended up pumping me full of pain medication that was doing nothing. I think we even got to morphine at some point. And, you know, morphine should really just take it out of you. And it didn't. So they went and they took me for some ultrasounds. And by the time I got back to ultrasound, I was in so much pain that I could barely sit still. And then, of course, that caused more pain. I didn't want to move, but I knew I needed to move. And it was horrible. I vividly remember the ultrasound tech making circles on her screen with her mouse and circling them and labeling them mass, mass, mass. She did at least three. And I knew what was going on. I went back into the room and I didn't tell my husband. I just said, something's up. You know, here's the deal. The ER doctor came in. He was a great guy, but he came in and he turned off the TV by hand. On the television. You know, anytime a doctor comes in and turns off the TV in the ER room, you got a problem, right? So he comes in and he basically says, hey guys, we got to talk. And we were told that I had ovarian cancer. And I said, okay, well, we'll get another opinion. And he said, there's no need. We've already got a second opinion. And, you know, my brother's a doctor. So I spoke with him. And he said, well, you need to tell your parents. You need to tell mom and dad. I said, I don't really want to. I was immediately shut down. Like, I immediately was shutting down. I couldn't fathom that this was happening to me. We had a 13-month-old. I was still nursing him. There had literally been a person inside my body a year before. How was I now being diagnosed with this? Well, I also had an ovarian cyst rupture in July of 2016, directly after having our son, just a few months after. And the odds are that the cancerous cells were inside that, and it was just growing and growing and growing. I didn't have any of the signs until the day that I got diagnosed, until it was too late. I didn't feel full. I did have to go to the bathroom a lot, but it was also nursing, so I was drinking plenty of fluids, and, you know, that's just normal for me. I didn't feel more tired than usual. I didn't have the bloating. I didn't have any of that. I'd actually lost weight. There were some other things that I didn't feel like were a big deal, and that's the problem. Ovarian cancer makes you unaware that you have this disease. You don't know that you are this sick until it's too late sometimes. So in May of 2017, I started chemo. I ran chemo until August of 2017. And by September of 2017, I was in remission. It was amazing. It was right after my very first teal power walk, and teal is the color of ovarian cancer and other gynecological issues. So PCOS, uterine cancer, cervical cancer, that's all going to fall under the teal umbrella there. So we have a teal power walk, and it's specifically for ovarian cancer, both the survivors and the fighters and the ones we've lost. So I went to that, and then a week later I was told I was in remission, and I was so excited. I cried. I crossed it off my board that I wanted to achieve for the year. I every year I write a list of things I would like to achieve for the following year, or I do a board with those things, and that was one of them. And I crossed it off, and I did a live video on Facebook. And I crossed it off, and I cried while I did that, and I was just so excited. And everything was great. And then 2018 was perfect. And we did the teal walk again, and I was so proud to be there because I was officially in remission, and I was officially a survivor, and I had been for over a year, and it was amazing. It was wonderful. And then I went in, and I had my regular CT scan because I was on a study drug, and it required that I had a CAT scan every few weeks, basically. I would have to go in and do that, and I went in, and they called me. And they told me I hadn't signed something. And I thought, well, that's BS. Because the person they had call me is a horrible liar. There's a gorgeous woman named Meg. She's glorious. She's wonderful. She's just a really bad liar. So I knew something was wrong with my scan immediately. It went in, and they drew my blood. And my cancer antigen was in the 30s, which is pretty high. Your cancer antigen number should not really be, like, above 10, I think. I don't even know, but it shouldn't definitely not be in the 30s. So there was a problem. They discovered that I had issues in my lungs now, as well as more issues in my pelvic area. So in November of 2018, I was no longer in remission. I was having a recurrence, which sucked, actually. It was very devastating to hear that. To know that I was backtracking, to know that my body was attacking me again. I hated it. I still hate it. And then, you know, December of 2018, I had my first of 4 foot surgeries. I stepped in a pothole in September of last year. And my body went one way while my foot stayed somewhere else. So I tore a tendon, and I had to have that fixed. Well, the first surgery was great, but then it got really infected because my white blood counts were low from chemo. I started chemo in December of 2018, about 2 weeks after I had my foot surgery. My body went into something called neutropenia, and that's when your white blood count can't attack whatever's in your body. So they're just too low, and they aren't forceful enough. So I ended up being neutropenic, and it was because of my foot. They actually denied me chemo one time because I was so neutropenic. It just wasn't safe to put me on chemo because chemo actually drops your white blood count as well. So I had to call the doctor and say, look, I need to be on the operating table yesterday. You need to fix this, please. So they went in and they flushed it out, and they found out that the bacteria had actually been eating at the tendon. So it was definitely a big bad bacteria. I don't know how I got it, but because I was so susceptible to infections, being that I was going through chemo again, my body just took on an infection. Well, I was also extremely sick for about 3 weeks after that. Not like normal chemo sick, but horrible cold, nauseous. I had like the flu. Couldn't keep anything down. It was just horrible. And I ended up having to go get hydration for like 5 hours too. It was just pumped into me, and it was awful. So we got back on track, but then I had two more foot surgeries in the beginning of 2019. I ended up being treated by infectious disease, and also had to have an amniotic mesh put into my ankle because my body was rejecting everything else. But this didn't interrupt my chemo anymore. I was able to do that, and I was able to keep moving. Everything was great until the day before my last chemo. My normal doctor was at a different office, and so I saw another doctor on staff. She was fantastic, The problem is they were able to finally see one of the masses we've been trying to treat. I no longer have a cervix thanks to a full bilateral hysterectomy, which just means they took everything from both sides, including my uterus, and my cervix. So they've made something called a vaginal cuff. Now, you know what? The problem with ovarian cancer and gynecological cancers is nobody wants to say vagina. Nobody wants to say vaginal. Nobody wants to say rectum. Nobody wants to talk about that. Everybody's embarrassed. Well, stop being embarrassed. It's normal. It's your body. Talk about it. So they took my cervix out and they made something called a vaginal cuff. Well, they were able to finally see this tumor that was on the one side of the vaginal cuff the day before my final chemo. They were able to biopsy it. I went through chemo like normal that Thursday. And then Friday morning at 10 o'clock, I got a phone call. And the doctor said, hey, it came back already. It's definitely more cancer. And my heart sank. Because I was so ready to be done fighting. I was so ready to feel victorious again. And get back on the upswing and feel really good. And just know that my body was back on track. But the actual fact is that the mortality rate for women with ovarian cancer is extremely high in the first 3 to 5 years. The success rate after 5 years, if you can make it to 5 years, is really good. It's very high. But it's getting to that first 5 years, first 3 to 5 years. So knowing that I've been diagnosed 3 separate times, in just over 2 years is heartbreaking. It's very difficult to think about holding my babies one last time. It's very difficult to think that, you know, this could be it this time. I don't want it to be, and I'm not thinking that way, but it's difficult when that pops into your head. So they decide to put me on something called a PARP inhibitor. Now a PARP inhibitor, P-A-R-P, is just basically a pill form of chemo. So I was put onto this product called Rubraca, and it's actually working fairly well, with the exception that this tumor that they biopsied won't stop. It is now 2.5 inches all around, and it just won't go anywhere. It's not reactive to chemo. It's not really reacting to the Rubraca either. So they are going to do radiation. Radiation had been taken off the table because one of the tumors is being cradled by one of my intestines, and that's very dangerous. And the other problem is that I'm being told that the large tumor is starting to press on my rectum, which means that my intestines are being affected in 2 locations, towards the middle and then also towards the bottom. So waste evacuation is becoming a problem. And they may have to do other alternatives for that, which sucks. There's so much to this that, you know, you see cancer patients on TV and they're all in pink and they all have no hair and they all, you know, they're just kind of dainty. And, you know, nobody shows you this backside to it where you get this phone call and you get more bad news and, you know, the day in and day out mentally of dealing with it, and nobody shows you that shit. They all want to talk about how, oh, they have cancer. No, there are women and men out there, and children, for God's sake, that fight cancer every day, sometimes really short amounts of time, and sometimes for weeks and years. There are people that fight for, this is where the phrase fighting for your life comes from. There are people out there that do this nonstop, and they need to be championed. They need to have their situations, it needs to be brought to people's attention that this is a problem and we need to be able to fix it. If we can fix a limp penis, we can fix cancer. So what am I doing now? So right now I'm on this Rubraca. And then Thursday, in 2 days, I start radiation for 12 cycles. And that means for 12 consecutive days, with the exception of Saturday and Sunday, I'll be having radiation treatment. Fortunately, it's only about a 20-minute treatment, so that's not awful. But it's going to take some time to get used to the thought that I'm now having to have radiation. And if the radiation doesn't work, then I have to do chemo every day. And if that doesn't work, who knows what's next? September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. And I hope that if you have a loved one in your life, a woman in your life, a sister, daughter, friend, niece, cousin, aunt, that you make her aware of ovarian cancer and the signs to look out for. Now, mind you, this is going to make you extremely paranoid when you are constipated or when you have to pee a lot or like you just kind of get worried over every little thing. But as women, we should know our bodies very well. We should know our bodies better than sometimes we do. And I'm very good at my body, and this one threw me for a loop. You know, ovarian cancer is probably one of the most difficult to track of cancers because there really is no test for it besides the CA125 blood test. And then at that point, there's just a whole bunch of exploratory that has to go on. When I had my hysterectomy, the surgery was supposed to be about 2 or 3 hours and ended up taking between 8.5 and 10 because everything was so conjoined and stuck together because I was so riddled with tumors. You know, it just, and it wasn't something I knew. It wasn't something that I had felt, that I could tell, nothing. It wasn't even something on my radar. So reach out to those women in your lives and explain to them that while there's no test, they can tune into their bodies. They can tune in and realize if something is wrong, you need to have that relationship with your doctor to be able to ask him or her, hey, this is what's going on. Do you think it's worth having an ultrasound? Do you think it's worth having my blood drawn? Do you think it's worth this? Do you think it's worth that? It's always worth it. It's always worth it to ask. And you should never be embarrassed to do that. And I really want the stigma of talking about quote-unquote private parts for cancer and anatomy, whatever you want to call it, we've got to get rid of it. You know, there's such a taboo with it, and it has to stop. Because the more you're educated about these type of things, the better prepared you are for them. I had never really tuned into cancer. I didn't even really know anything about it. I didn't know, you know, much about the process and anything. And I had purposefully not learned about it because I knew that I didn't need it. I was never going to have to worry about that. Was I wrong? Don't be wrong. Be educated. Thanks for tuning in again today, guys. I really appreciate it. I know I went on a tangent after saying it was going to be a short episode, but I hope that it was informative. I hope that you put into play some of the things that I talked about today, if not for yourself, if for the women in your lives. And, you know, maybe stop pussyfooting around pussies. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't usually use that word, but in this sense, we've got to talk about it. We've got to talk about this stuff. It is just too much to not talk about. All right, guys, have a great rest of your day or great tomorrow. Make sure that you put a smile on your face and you put a smile on somebody else's because you really never know when they're going to need it. Much love from me to you. I will talk to you all soon. Bye.